South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 15, 2021. The leader of the former rebels of the South Sudan National Movement for Change joins President Salva Kiir's party.
The NMC is a grassroots movement with the membership across the country, including the diaspora. So what has happened is that our chairman has done his personal decision together with some colleagues to rejoin the SPLM. So NMC is very much alive.
And Sudan pledges to help the implementation of the South Sudan Peace Agreement.
We have been assured that the joint forces are going to be graduated, and this is a positive news, and hope that their graduation should not delay anymore, because we want to see the second batch go for training as well.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The leader of the South Sudan National Movement for Change, Joseph Bakasoro, has rejoined the ruling Sudan People's Liberation Movement under the leadership of President Salva Kiir. Bakasoro announced his decision today during a press conference in Juba this afternoon. Clement Mbogoniwia is a senior member of the South Sudan National Movement for Change. He says the defection of Joseph Bakasoro to the Sudan People's Liberation Movement under the leadership of President Salva Kiir does not change anything in his group.
The NMC is a grassroots movement with the membership across the country, including the diaspora. So what has happened is that our chairman has done his personal decision together with some colleagues to rejoin the SPLM. So NMC is very much alive. It is just the leader and some members who have rejoined the SPLM.
How many members of your party have crossed the bridge together with Joseph Bakasoro to join the SPLM in the government of President Salva Kiir?
At this stage, it is very, very early at this stage to take a stock of who has actually gone. So it will take us some time because, as I said, and we are not able to verify who have gone. But what we know is that there are a good number of members who are still part of the NMC.
But looking at the pictures from Juba, I could recognize faces of members of your group who were seated next to Joseph Bakasoro. Why are you tiptoeing on the number of people who have crossed together with him to the SPLM, in government?
No. The people who sat around Bakasoro, of course, these are members. Some of them are members of the leadership. There was a deputy secretary there. Then there's a deputy secretary for foreign information. Then there is a state advisor and a youth leader. These are the people who are sitting around him.
Counting from the top of my head, it looks like four senior members of your group plus Joseph Bakasoro have joined the SPLM. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, maybe there may be some other members who are not necessarily having a portfolio in the party. We don't know whether there are people in the state leadership. That is why we are saying let us hold on the issue of the leader now and consult with the state to see who is there.
But looking at the pictures from Juba, you can tell exactly who was there with Bakasoro. Why are you telling me that it's too early to take a stock of the people who have joined the SPLM in the government?
No, there are people who are in that picture who are not necessarily members of the leadership of NMC. You know, a press conference conducted in Juba is likely to attract so many people.
The Secretary General of your party was sitting next to Joseph Bakasoro. Why would you say you don't know who has joined the SPLM together with your former chairman?
No, that's not the Secretary General. That is the Deputy Secretary General. The Secretary General and even the Deputy Chairman and the legal advisors and other members are still not part of the decision.
Let's talk about the peace implementation. Your group, the South Sudan National Movement for Change, was a partner or is a partner and a member of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance. Now with Pakasoro joining the SPLM in government, what is your position in terms of the implementation of the peace agreement?
Yeah, that is true. As far as we are concerned, the organization is intact. So we still remain member of SOA. We are still committed to the implementation of the peace agreement. And therefore, those members who have left to the other parties is completely on their own. So for us as the main members and the main organization, we will continue to play our role as we have always done within the SOA.
It appears like the party, your group, is at a crossroads right now with, a lot of uncertainties in the air. Let's say in a worst-case scenario, if the government of South Sudan or if the transitional government of national unity tells you that they don't recognize you because your leader is now part of the SPLM, what would be your next course of action?
We don't see any reason why they should not recognize us, because the NMC has not been dissolved as a movement, and so our membership in SOA is intact. I'm sitting here with the Secretary General, the Deputy Chairperson, members of the Leadership Committee who have not attended that press conference you are referring to. So what we are saying is, yes, the leaders have gone. There are some colleagues who have gone with him. So we did not attend the conference, so we don't know how many people were there, how many members of the leadership were in attendance.
That's Clement Mbogwanwia, a senior member of the South Sudan National Movement for Change. He spoke with me from Juba earlier today. The Sudanese transitional government has committed to support the full implementation of the revitalized peace agreement in the neighboring South Sudan. The deputy head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, visited Juba Wednesday to see for himself progress in the implementation of the South Sudan peace agreement. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum. The audio in this story was provided by Sudan News Agency.
In speaking to reporters shortly after meeting with South Sudan's President Salva Kiir in Juba on Wednesday, Dagalo said Sudan will continue to offer support to the peace partners in South Sudan to enable them to fully implement the peace deal. Dagalo commended South Sudan's leaders for progress made in reconstituting the National Legislative Assembly and establishing state governments, but need to do more to implementing the agreed-to security arrangements, which he calls important during this phase of implementation.
We have been assured that the joint forces are going to be graduated, and this is a positive news, and hope that their graduation should not delay anymore, because we want to see the second batch go for training as well. As one of the guarantee countries, we shall be monitoring this development more closely through the different joint committees.
Dagalo is urging South Sudan's peace partners to recommit themselves to fully implementing the peace deal as the only means to guarantee stability in the country. He says a stable South Sudan will mean a stable Sudan as well. Sudan and Uganda are guarantors of South Sudan's peace deal signed in September 2018 in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa, which provides 36 months of a transitional period followed by a national election at the end of the period. It has been nearly 3 years since the agreement was signed, and yet several key provisions have yet to be implemented. South Sudanese officials have repeatedly said the government lacks funds needed to implement the deal. President Kiir recently said the sanctions and arms embargo imposed on the country by the United Nations Security Council have slowed implementation of the peace agreement. He also said the country is unable to graduate the joint forces due to a lack of weapons. Tut Galwag, President Kiir's security advisor, who also heads the Peace Implementation Committee, announced Wednesday that the joint forces will graduate shortly after Eid al-Adha, but did not say whether or not all forces would be armed.
We have directed all the military committees in accordance with the directives of the President of the Republic that the graduation of the joint forces who are currently under training will commence immediately after the Adha Eid, and we expect that the second batch of the trainees should commence immediately in accordance with the agreement.
Despite the challenges that lie ahead, Galwak insists the parties are fully committed to implementing the peace deal.
We are certain in our stance that the peace implementation is going on well. All parties are optimistic about the lasting peace in the country.
Chapter 2 of the River Talais peace agreement requires the parties to form a unified army in South Sudan. The first group of forces has been at training centers around the country for nearly 2 years. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Students at Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology in Jonglei State Capital Bor rioted today, demanding university authorities to reopen the school and resume lectures. The university has remained closed for more than a year, despite the lifting of a lockdown aimed at curbing the spread of COVID-19 in April. The university administration says there is no money to feed students. For VOA News, Deng Gai Deng has more from Bor.
Hundreds of students from Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology shouted slogans and carried placards that read, "Education is our right and the university must reopen without conditions." While taking part in today's peaceful protest, the students erected barricades along the Pakwau Highway, paralyzing traffic along the main road that links the Bor airstrip to the rest of the town. Some students said they were tired of waiting for nearly 2 years to return to class and cannot understand why the university remains closed month after most other public universities reopened. Samuel Machare, fourth-year student at Dr. John Garang Memorial University, says the delay in reopening the university has negatively affected him as he should have graduated a year ago.
It is 2 years, let me say 2 years, without operating. So we are demanding the Ministry of Finance and Higher Education to pay the arrears of our contractor so that we resume our studies. Other public universities are operating, why not John Garang? We are not an exceptional of the other public universities, so we need to resume our studies. We need to learn.
Another student, Ayuan Garang, urged the government to immediately intervene by supplying food to the university so that it can reopen and students can return to classes.
Inner, we are not happy. Inside, we are not happy. We cannot circulate it inside the campus, but we want to show to the whole country that as the University of Dr. John Garang are facing a lot. Actually, education is our right, and we have right to education.
Ajith Solomon Awan, the head of the university's student union, says the students are protesting because the administration has gone back on its word to reopen the school.
We have sent student representatives on several locations to negotiate with the university about the reopening plan, but since then they have been giving empty promises which have not materialized up to now, and that's why we have called on this demonstration to bring it to the attention and the attention of the Ministry of Finance and the country at large.
Professor Quil Maluil, the university's deputy vice chancellor, says the institution remains closed because there is no food to feed the students.
To allow the university to open without food, because Bor is not like Juba. In Juba, you can be in your uncle's house, your aunt's house, your nephew's house, and then you run up and down for what to eat. But a student coming from from Rang, a long distance without an uncle here, then it is not easy for the administration to open without food here.
Maluil urges students to be patient as the administration engages with government officials to allocate the money needed to buy food for the student before the institution reopens. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, protests erupt in South Africa. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's a bad habit that you have struggled to give up?
Bad habit. I love sleeping a lot. Yeah, that's my bad habit.
I love sleeping. Sometimes I fail to catch up on time because of sleep.
That habit of being jealous to my wife, yes, that one I've tried to be to control myself so that I should not be jealous of her, but I do fail.
A short temper, because I think that it is a genetic, so I can not give up.
I tend to overreact when my kids do something wrong, and I end up regretting the consequences of my actions after giving them too tough punishments.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The South African government is sending 25,000 soldiers to arrest what it calls flashpoints, as it tries to stop violence from spreading across the country. On Saturday, protests against the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma for contempt of court grew into civil unrest. Mobs have looted and destroyed parts of the city, burning and destroying factories and warehouses. Scores of people have been killed and 100 others injured. For VOA News, Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
None of us knew what was happening until it happened. Now all we are pleading with is that...
Government ministers, flanked by bodyguards, are touring ravaged areas. 5 days after the chaos began, their suits in stark contrast to the often dirty, tattered clothing worn by the people staring at them. People who just hours before the politicians arrived, with platitudes and promises, had participated in the biggest outbreak of public violence and disorder in the history of democratic South Africa. Soldiers are now streaming into areas threatened by mobs, but so too are vigilantes.
Don't waste your ammo, boy.
Yeah, is there? Stop, stop.
Let them come.
Okay, let's go.
In this footage sent to VOA by a senior army officer, private citizens open fire with pistols, shotguns and rifles on a crowd trying to enter a suburb in the port city of Durban. The mobs armed with bricks, clubs and pangas, which are large, broad-bladed knives. Security analysts say this is what a country that's lost all faith in their police looks like. People feel abandoned by the forces supposed to be protecting them and are taking the law into their own hands.
Especially the looters. They're very smart, they're well informed, they watch the news. They must understand that tonight they're not only dealing with law enforcement, they're dealing with their match.
Young men hiding weapons under overcoats patrol the Maponya Mall in Soweto, near Johannesburg. It's the only shopping center here that hasn't been ransacked by looters.
They deal with their match because when they come here with pangas, our pangas will come out. When they come here with guns, our guns will come out. But what you should know is that we have enough firepower to last us until sunrise. We're ready to die. When I left my house, I told my mom...
Phoenix in Durban is a suburb populated by Indian South Africans. When a mob attacked homes here, community members fought back.
We have lost 15 people here. Police will have to...
Police Minister Becky Cele went live on state TV last night while visiting Phoenix.
People that murder people will have to be arrested. The problem of the standoff here is between Africans and Indian origin South Africans. That cannot...
The people of Phoenix say they didn't murder anyone. It was self-defense. They also insist they didn't kill the attackers because they were black. They killed them because they feared for their lives. The violence in KwaZulu-Natal has prompted Zulu King Misuzulu Kazweletini to plead with his subjects.
It has brought great shame upon us all. I never thought after the tragic passing of my parents that I would see our own people so complicit and burning down the country. My father's people are committing suicide.
The violence began after former President Jacob Zuma surrendered to prison authorities last week to begin serving a sentence for refusing to testify at an inquiry into alleged corruption during his years in office. The inquiry has split the African National Congress, which has led the country since apartheid ended almost 3 decades ago. Zuma's supporters took to the streets, but the protests quickly turned into looting as a country struggling with more than 30% unemployment, constant power outages, and the pandemic boiled over. Chief among the many questions South Africans are asking today are, will an ANC government that's mismanaged the country entrusted to it by Nelson Mandela begin implementing policies that try to ease inequality and fight official corruption? And are sounds like these harbingers of what South Africa thought it had averted 27 years ago when the white supremacist government left power peacefully?
Yeah, guys, we not no time to play here. We're gonna do what we have to do.
Where's John with the shotgun?
For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
A report by the World Health Organization finds the COVID-19 pandemic has led to a major backsliding on childhood vaccination. It says an estimated 23 million children missed out on basic vaccine services in 2020. For VOA News, Lisa Schrein reports from Geneva.
The World Health Organization and UN Children's Fund report 23 million children missed out last year on vaccines against killer diseases such as measles, polio, and diphtheria. They say global disruptions of immunization services caused by COVID-19 have set back progress in childhood vaccinations by a decade. They report children in the southeastern Asian and eastern Mediterranean regions were most affected. India topped a list of 10 countries with the greatest increase in children who did not receive a first dose of the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis combined vaccine. The 9 following countries are in the Americas and African regions. Director of Immunization, Vaccines, and Biologicals Department at WHO, Kate O'Brien, says new waves of COVID-19 and the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines must not derail routine immunization. She notes vaccines are the most powerful tools available to safeguard public health.
The world has rightly prioritized the emergency response to COVID-19. But if we fail to find a catch-up and catch up those who have missed their vaccines and restore and improve the essential immunization program, there is a serious risk of disease outbreaks that will continue to grow. We really can't trade one crisis for another.
Principal Advisor and Chief of Immunization at UNICEF, Ephraim Lamango, says immunizations in the first half of 2020 decreased significantly in many countries. This due to the closure of health facilities, pandemic lockdown measures, and transportation disruptions.
Later on, recovery interventions such as the community mobilization activities and supply of protective equipment to health providers and conducting repetitive outreach activities had actually enabled some regions such as Middle East and Northern Africa region as well to really improve its coverage.
He adds the African region also saw a significant improvement in coverage. WHO, UNICEF, and partners are helping countries and regions in their efforts to recover from the pandemic and strengthen immunization systems. The agencies aim to achieve 90% coverage for essential childhood vaccines by 2030. If this UN-designated goal is fully implemented, they say the deaths of an estimated 51 million future children could be averted. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The International Organization for Migration said Wednesday that deaths among maritime migration routes to Europe have more than doubled in the first half of this year compared to the same period in 2020. Sabina Castelfranco reports from Rome.
The International Organization for Migration, IOM, is concerned with the increase in deaths
on maritime migration routes to Europe. The organization said Wednesday that at least 1,146 people died attempting to reach Europe in the first 6 months of 2021, adding that the number has more than doubled compared to the same period last year. Most of those who died trying to reach Europe were attempting to cross the Mediterranean. The total number of attempted crossings is also on the rise. More than 31,500 people were intercepted or rescued by North African authorities in the first half of 2021, compared to just over 23,000 in the same period last year. Many of the migrants departed from Tunisia, headed for Italy. Italy is very concerned about the increasing arrivals, as Interior Minister Luciana Lamorgese explained in an interview with Italian national television.
A luglio sono arrivati, si sono moltiplicati gli arrivi da parte della Tunisia.
Lamorgese said that in July the arrivals from Tunisia have multiplied due to that country's deep economic crisis. They are economic migrants that cannot stay in Italy, and so they will be repatriated, likely from early August. She added that areas have been identified where the migrants can be tested and placed in quarantine, including a large ship. Lamorgese said repatriations will increase.
L'Italia sta sopportando davvero tanto le conseguenze.
She said Italy is taking a huge brunt of the crisis in Tunisia, and seeing as these are economic migrants, it is right that they should return home. The IOM data shows that deaths occurred because of insufficient search and rescue operations in the Mediterranean and on the Atlantic route to the Canary Islands, even though interceptions off the North African coast have increased for the second consecutive year. IOM Director General Antonio Vitorino called on countries to take urgent measures to prevent loss of life. He said increasing search and rescue efforts and ensuring access to safe and legal migration pathways are key steps towards achieving this goal. The IOM also said over 15,300 people were returned to Libya in the first 6 months of 2021, almost three times higher than the same period last year. But this is also a concern, it said, given that migrants who are returned to Libya are subjected to arbitrary detention, extortion, disappearances, and torture. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
That's all we prepared for you today. We now leave you with Manyang and his song, Salam.
Darin salam, kujanga wido redil. Darin salam, kujanga wido redil. Darin salam, kunara wido redil. Darin salam, kujanga wido redil. Salam alaikum na twish mayadi. Deku salam yeah. Salam alaikum denga biay. Deku salam. Aji mi aliloin wido rejeloin. Aji mi aliloin wido rejeloin. Aji mi ali loin udar ye ye loin, abi mi ali loin udar ye ye loin. Punga girdi agongo mana kyan, tonga mi de tegu bay jingo kunyo. Punga girdi agongo mana kyan, tonga mi de tegu jingo kunyo. Kajaru ti jo baude, punga girdi jo baoya. Radio maya dirga wati jo bangwale jo baban. Mona ken yo baoya radio maya dirga wati yu bonglale yo baode wan jan nyal yo baoya radio maya dirga wati yu bonglale.
We've been listening to Manyang and his song Salam. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Salam alaikum, datri mayadi.